Jerry Brown.
Thank you. Thank you. And how does it sound that you tell me something? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life.
Y en español,
yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida.
Give yourselves a hand. Isn't that fun doing those affirmations? Mm-hmm. It's really true. It's who you are. Well, I think a teaching on Resurrection Sunday wouldn't be a teaching on Resurrection Sunday without going to Matthew chapter 27. And I'd like to start there. I'd like to spend a lot of time in Acts today, but I want to start in Matthew 27. And when we did communion this morning, I said I'd interdisperse things, and I talked about you relating. And I believe that God wants us to relate to what happened with Jesus and the people in his life. And we might think it was a long time ago, 2,000 years. But when you go into the Bible and you read that 1,000 years is how long?
One day.
Well, 2 days isn't really a long time ago. And so it's possible for us to relate even more emphatically than we might think. When the Spirit of God moves, lots of great things can happen. So expect something like that. But expect to be able to relate to some of these things that transpired around the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Well, what do we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday? The resurrection, right? I know Easter kind of throws it off, the term, but we know what it's all about. I actually posted an interesting article about the different things that Easter propounds. You might go take a look at the RBRC Facebook page, and you'll see what ham's for and what eggs are for and what bunnies are for and all that kind of stuff. Total nonsense. That has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And that's why we call this Resurrection Sunday. Well, Matthew chapter 27, we learn of a man in verse 57, Joseph of Arimathea. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. I don't know if you can imagine walking through those halls. I don't know if you can imagine Joseph's wealth. I don't know if you can imagine what Joseph felt like when he knew that he would have to do that. If he didn't do it, who else was going to? Well, nobody. Literally nobody in the entire world was going to do it. Only Joseph. So he had a burden on his shoulders that God wanted him to carry. It reminds me a lot of, remember Saul on the road to Damascus? Who was it that was asked to go minister to him? Well, we'll see him today. What's his name?
Ananias.
A burden. Who would have healed Saul if Ananias wouldn't have carried that burden? Probably no one. We don't know. But there was something about Ananias, just like there was something about Joseph that said, you go. And there are times in our lives when only you can do it. So Pilate gave him that body. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, a sheet, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Joseph had used his own tomb. Well, you'll see something happen. God didn't want him to use his own tomb. He wanted him put somewhere else, and that's exactly what happened. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now, the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, and don't forget the nights, I will rise again. I don't know why they forget the nights, but they always do. But you can't have 3 days without 3 nights. And you can try to cut it short, but those 3 days, the span of those 3 days from Wednesday after 3 p.m. to Saturday after 3 p.m., 3 full days and 3 full nights were quite possibly the 3 darkest days in our history. But there was light coming. And that's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. And these guys, they were afraid. Well, verse 64, then they said, command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error, they say error, shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. He just did what they asked for. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. They were so afraid that the disciples were going to come and steal Jesus' body that they asked for guards to be put around it. Crazy. Just crazy. Well, they couldn't stop anything because we have chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, the first day of the week is Sunday. And so the end of the Sabbath was 6 p.m. Saturday, and that's when it was over. And so at that time, sometime after that, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, the entrance, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Wow. I don't know if you can relate to that, but you know, when you pick up a good book and you get into it, sometimes you can actually feel what's going on in the story, and the more you feel it, the more you like it. That's the same way with entertainment of any sort, music, or TV or movies. Whenever it draws you in, you really enjoy it, or you really relate to it. This, can you imagine? Can you imagine those angels? Can you imagine the earthquake? Can you imagine those soldiers? They just look dead. Can you imagine that stone being rolled away from the entrance? Wow. You know, I think it would have been fun to watch those soldiers because they shook first, and they just shook. Have you ever been so afraid of something that you just start shaking violently? Maybe I think we all have, at some point. And then they just became as dead. It's like wow, they're just lifeless. There's nothing to them. And the angel answered and said unto the women, now the women were just sitting there. It doesn't say they shook. It doesn't say they became like dead people. That's really something. They had no reason to. That's really something. If you start to understand the righteous walk, the righteous walk is by choice. And every day, choices befall us to where we choose where to place our feet. We choose what we do. We choose what we say. We choose everything. There's nothing in a day that you do that you don't choose. And so I think that these women had chosen the righteous walk. And when they were faced with righteousness, the angel, they had nothing to fear. Apparently, though, those guards, those soldiers, they did. I'm glad that somebody could sit there and watch this. And anytime a story is written, it's written with somebody's point of view. And we have to look through somebody's eyes. And it almost seems like we're looking through Mary's eyes. Mary Magdalene. And she watched this great earthquake. She watched the heavens and the angel of the Lord descending from heaven. And she watched that angel come down to that stone and roll that stone back from the entrance. And she watched that angel sit on that stone. She saw his countenance like lightning. It was so bright. But it was more than bright. It was active. Lightning is active. There's stuff going on with it. Flashing and brilliance. And his raiment white as snow. She saw the white of his raiment. She saw the pureness of it. And she saw the fear in the keepers. They're shaking, and that they became as dead men. And then she heard the angel answer and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. And that fear is respect. And did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, howdy. And they came and beheld him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Gosh, I don't know if you could put yourself into that, but how fantastic. It's just a remarkable experience. If you read that at any time in your life, it has to grip your soul. It's so powerful. Turn to Acts chapter 1. You know, there are so many things that happened within, according to Bible time, seconds of the resurrection. that we could relate to that could help us be more in touch with Jesus Christ, be more in touch with our Lord, be more in touch with the resurrection, be more in touch with the reality of everything that we could possibly do or become through Christ. The book of Acts is filled with examples. And the book of Acts is only seconds after the resurrection. Now, you might think I'm being a little silly there, but I'm really not. If one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day, you're only a couple days after it. That's just not a lot. Look in chapter 1, verse 11. Which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Well, if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, this wouldn't have happened. Verse 14, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of names together were about 120. We know that they weren't in the upper room then. They were actually in a different place because women weren't allowed in their sleeping quarters. "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry." Can you imagine the apostles meeting in the upper room if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead? Or them going through this because of Judas? I can't. Chapter 2, verse 38. Can you imagine the Sermon on the Mount? "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Can you imagine that happening? No, not if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead. Chapter 3, verse 6. "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That man would never have risen up and walked. Never. Verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Our sins never would have been blotted out. Verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." Can you imagine being turned away from your iniquities? In verse 26, "Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Can you imagine ever having heard of a resurrection from the dead? Chapter 4, verse 1, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." Can you imagine that? It never would have happened if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead. Verse 30, "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus." Can you imagine signs and wonders being done in this earth? No, not at all. How about chapter 7? This one really strikes me. verse 55. But he, we're talking about Stephen, being full of Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Can you imagine heaven opening and Stephen, or anybody for that matter, seeing Jesus standing on the right hand of God? It never would have happened. How about verse 16? "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received Holy Spirit." So many people in Samaria would not have manifested Holy Spirit. How about in verse 37, chapter 8, verse 37, you remember the eunuch. "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Can you imagine Philip baptizing that eunuch if Jesus wouldn't have been raised from the dead? Every single one of these accounts, you can put yourself in and look through the eyes of maybe Mary, maybe you. There's got to be somebody's POV, but you could stand there and you could watch this. You can watch that chariot stop. You can watch Philip and the eunuch get out of that chariot and walk down to the water. You can watch the baptism. It really did happen. Chapter 9, verse 5. Can you imagine being on the road to Damascus? "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." That was Saul. "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And I mention Ananias, verse 17. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with Holy Spirit." Can you imagine in verse 29, Paul speaking boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus? "And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." Can you imagine what went through Paul's mind as he had to escape and these people were trying to kill him? They were attacking him. They were running after him, wanted to murder him. Have you ever had somebody try to murder you? That might be hard to imagine. But you can put yourself here and you can watch this. Wow. Aeneas in verse 33. "And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years." 8 years he was in bed. I can't stand to be in bed any more than about 8 hours. Can you imagine 8 years? "And was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately." Can you imagine? Chapter 10, verse 45. "What about the gift being poured out on the Gentiles? And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and came, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Can you imagine if Jesus would have seen corruption like David did? Chapter 13, verse 33. "God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Verse 34, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again, Jesus Christ, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Can you imagine if Jesus would have seen corruption? And what about in Acts chapter 16, that woman with that spirit of divination? It would never have been cast out in verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Can you imagine? And this did she many days, not just one, not just two, but many days. But Paul, being grieved, he finally turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. He didn't do it the first day, or the second, or even the third. It was many days. But finally he could, and he came out the same hour. Can you imagine Paul and Silas staying in prison for the rest of their lives, maybe dying in there? In 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. Can you imagine that? And everyone's bands were loosed. Everyone! Can you imagine? Can you imagine Paul teaching on Mars Hill about the unknown God? Chapter 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. What a great account to read. He announced to them the unknown God. They weren't allowed to preach a new God. They would have been killed. But there was one of those things to the unknown God. And he said, that's who I'm talking about. Can you imagine Aquila and Priscilla not existing? That they didn't help a very, very special person later. In Acts chapter 18, verse 2. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, and came unto them. In verse 9, the Corinthians would have never heard the word of God if Jesus hadn't been resurrected. Then spake the Lord, verse 9, to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Can you imagine Apollos never having heard the word of God more perfectly? Verse 24, And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, but he only knew the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Can you imagine that not happening? That would have had a huge impact in Ephesus, a negative impact, I'm sure. And what about the about 12 men at Ephesus in chapter 19, verse 1? And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples there. So Paul found some disciples in Ephesus, and in verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. But before this, those men hadn't manifested. Can you imagine all Asia not hearing the word of God in that space of 2 years? In verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Can you imagine? How about those seven sons of Sceva? Verse 19, many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And it was right before then that those seven sons of Sceva jumped on that guy, and he ran out of the house naked and wounded. These curious arts never would have been burned. And what about Paul being able to teach for those 2 years in his own hired house? Chapter 28, verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Can you imagine if Jesus would never have been raised from the dead? The men of Galilee would never have seen Jesus taken up into heaven. The apostles never would have met in that upper room. Peter never would have preached the Sermon on the Mount. The world never would have received the promise. The lame men never would have walked. Repentance and forgiveness never would have been taught. We would never have been turned away from our iniquities. We never would have heard of a resurrection from the dead. Signs and wonders never would have been done in his name. Stephen never would have seen Jesus standing on God's right hand. Simon never would have believed. So many people in Samaria never would have manifested Holy Spirit. The eunuch never would have been baptized. Saul never would have met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Ananias never would have been sent to heal Paul. Paul never would have spoken boldly in the name of Jesus Christ. Aeneas never would have been healed by Peter in the name of Jesus Christ. The gift never would have been poured out on the Gentiles. Jesus would have seen corruption just like David did. That spirit of divination never would have been cast out of that woman. Paul and Silas never would have been freed from that prison. Paul never would have preached the unknown God on Mars Hill. We never would have learned of Aquila and Priscilla, and the Corinthians never would have heard the word of God by Paul. Apollos never would have been instructed more perfectly. The about 12 men at Ephesus never would have manifested Holy Spirit. All of Asia never would have heard the word of the Lord Jesus in 2 years. The seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, never would have been exposed, and those curious arts never would have been burned. Paul never would have been able to teach those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ for 2 whole years in his own hired house. Those were only minutes ago. Man never would have been able to be born again. The 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit would have forever been concealed. Man would never have been turned away from the law. Man's eyes never would have been enlightened. The exceeding riches of God's grace never would have been made known. We would never have learned how to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful to every good work. The great hope of the return of Christ never would have been made known. We'd have no leaders or ruling ministries in the body of Christ. God's love never would have been made known. The gospel of grace never would have been preached. The gift of Holy Spirit never would have been outpoured from heaven. You never would have believed. You never would have received eternal life or the gift of Holy Spirit, the ability to operate the manifestations. God never would have had a family like he desired. And this old world would have been forever doomed. And that's exactly what the adversary wants you to think. But the truth is, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. God raised him from the dead, and we choose every day to walk a righteous walk because he lives in us.
Right. Thank you. That was great.